Are you guys ready? Who has yet to go back to school? Who's already in school? Yeah, we're in that back to school season. Some of you have started. Some of you are gonna start. Whether you're a student or a teacher, going off to kindergarten for the very first time, or headed back to college for your final year, we're in that back to school season. And whenever it's back to school season, I always remember those that saying when I was a little kid, school is about those three R's. Any of you remember what the three R's are? Reading, writing, arithmetic. You know who came up with that slogan? It was not an educator. Had to be a preacher. Because in preaching, spelling doesn't count. And we all know one of those words doesn't start with an R. Nah, I know, it's two, but I'm a preacher, so. St. Paul, as he's writing to the Colossians, kind of has a back-to-church moment. Now, the people hadn't actually taken the summer off. They hadn't left the faith. They hadn't quit being the people of God. That's not what I mean by a back-to-church moment. In the first couple chapters of Colossians, Paul addresses that you are the church. You are the people of God. This is what he has done for you. And then he makes this transition here in the third chapter. And he calls us to be God's people in the world. How we are to live as the people he has called his own. Not just people who go to church, so to speak, but people who are the church. And coincidentally enough, he uses three R's. He says, you have been raised with Christ. You are to reflect the Christ. And you are to relay to Christ. Raised with Christ, reflecting Christ, relaying Christ. You heard it earlier. It was already read by Bill. Our translation says, now that you have been brought back to life with Christ, the word actually Paul uses, now that you have been raised with Christ, have been raised. Have been. The word is past tense. And it's passive. You have been. It's already accomplished. It has happened. This isn't a future hope that the apostle and the author of this book is praying will happen to you. It's an event that's already taken place in your life. And when he's reminding you of, you have been raised with Christ. It's past. And it's also passive. Paul doesn't say, hey, remember that day when you clawed your way out of the grave? God raised you. He doesn't say, remember that past achievement? God has achieved this for you. He doesn't say, look back to when you struggled and made this your reality. Look to the suffering and sacrifice of Christ who has made this real about you and in you and for you. You have been raised. You were dead in your sins. God has made you alive with Christ. He has nailed the charges that were against you to the cross. I don't know what runs through your mind when you hear that text. The charges, plural, that were against you. You know, it's not one little tiny inclination. It's not even one maybe significant action that stands against us. The charges are plural. There's a plethora of things that the accuser could hold against us. Just imagine for a minute, if you would, Just imagine that the devil found his way before God on his throne, and he were to say, "Let me tell you what Kevin has done." Now, at that point, some of you might be interested in hearing the rest of the sentence. But just imagine for a minute it was your name that was used, not mine. Let me tell you what Kim, what Carl, what Kristen, what someone whose name doesn't start with a K, let me tell you what they have done. You know how God would reply? Let me tell you what I have done for them. I mean, think for a moment of a painful memory. One brought about not because you were the victim of something, but because you were the perpetrator of something. Whether the harm was emotional, physical, spiritual, whether it was to another, to yourself, to the sovereignty and rule of God, think back to that moment, a painful memory brought about because of a guilty behavior, a past action of yours that haunts you still to this very day. And I don't care if that past action took place 30 years ago before you ever came to church, or if it took place 30 minutes ago on your way to church this morning. Think back to a time when you're kind of horrified about what you did. If the devil were in front of your father and he said, "Let me tell you about that and what they did," God replied, "Let me tell you what I have done for them." "No, no, no. Let me tell you how far from glory they have fallen." "No, no, no. Let me tell you how far from heaven I have come for them. And I have raised them." You have been raised. You were raised with Christ. You were raised in a garden tomb that held no body. You were raised in a basin of water that held the promises of God. You want to know when you were raised? Go back to your baptism. In your baptism, God raised you with Christ. The author of these words elsewhere in Romans wrote, you know this, right? That all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. So that just as Christ was raised through the power and glory of the Father, we too might be raised to live a new life. You've been raised with Christ. That rising finds its deepest connection in your baptism. And flowing from those waters, you're called now to rise daily. In the catechism, if you're visiting with us today here at Bethany, we're so glad you're here. If you're kind of new to the Lutheran Church, we're so glad you're here. The crib notes, the Reader's Digest version of Lutheran teachings condensed into its smallest format is what we call the catechism. In the catechism, the question is asked, what does baptism signify in a person's daily life? The answer is this. It means that we should daily drown the old Adam in repentance and contrition, and daily rise up as new people to live before the Lord in righteousness. The reason you got to drown the old Adam and the old Eve daily is those guys know how to swim, right? The old Adam and the old Eve, that's the verbiage for your fallen nature. Think of the ways it claws itself to the surface in your life. Maybe it does some strokes better than others. But think of the way that the old Adam and the old Eve manifest in your life. Here are the ways they manifested in the lives of the Colossians. Rid yourself, says St. Paul, of sexual immorality, greed, evil desires, and lust. You know, Paul made that list before there was a World Wide Web or cable television. Rid yourself of anger, malice, rage, slander, filthy language. Paul wrote those words before anyone had ever tweeted or posted or blogged. What do you think Paul would write if he were writing Californians or Americans instead of Colossians? Probably the same things. Very little has changed in our world, except the manner in which we can externally express that nature which we internally possess. Let me say that again. Very little has changed in our world, except the manner in which we can externally express that nature we internally possess. But it has been eternally redressed by God, atoned for in Christ, nailed to the cross. And now, as people have been raised in Him, we're called to daily confess all we have done and all He has done, so that we may daily profess with our lips and our lives the people He calls us to be. That's the next R, reflecting Christ. And that's where we're going to go next week. So let me give you just something to hang on to think about, to kind of meditate upon and explore this past week. What is it you need to rid yourself of? What on this list, or what not on this list but in your lives, is something you need to rid yourself of? Return to your baptism daily. Drown it. Repent of it. Give it to God, and let Him raise you up anew to live before Him in righteousness and toward others in service. Let's pray. Almighty God, the starting point, the foundation, the center of being yours is knowing we have been raised in Christ. Now, having been raised in Christ, strengthen us to daily repent in sorrow and contrition, to drown that old Adam, to rid ourselves of that we know needs to be ridden of, that we might rise before you to live in righteousness and before others in lives of service. In your name we pray. Amen.